Welcome, everyone. This is Gary Carpenter again with Prepare for College, and that's prepare4college.com. And this is going to be one of the last segments of six segments we've had on athletics. This one's going to be called Keeping the College Coach Up to Date. So I want to let Chuck get into this right away, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time telling you how great we are and all that. You can find it out yourself. Chuck, take it away.
All right. Thank you, Gary. Now, when a student athlete is getting being recruited, it's not enough just to send a highlight reel or an impressive email and then sit back and wait. College recruiting is an ongoing relationship building process. And just like any strong relationship, the communication you have with the college coaches is very important. Keeping the coaches up to date on your progress shows them that you're serious, you're engaged, and constantly improving. Now, here's a few things that I want to go over with you to give you a little bit of insight of why keeping the coach up to date is important. Number one, it shows you're actively improving. When coaches see that you're continuing to grow athletically as well as academically, they're more likely to keep you on their radar and process matters just as much as the current performance. So it's very important to let them know how you're progressing on an athletic or an academic standpoint. It keeps you on the minds of the college coach. College coaches will be evaluating sometimes hundreds of student athletes. Now, if you go from month to month without an update, they might forget you, and frequent updates help you stand out and stay visible. It demonstrates commitment. It also builds a relationship over time. And this is important to where you can get into a position to where the college coach knows you by your first name. Now, each message is a chance to strengthen your relationship with the college coach that is recruiting you. The more they get to know you, the better your chances of being recruited. It shows you how committed you are to the college as well. Let's a coach track your development. Coaches need to know you've improved in the right areas, such as your strengths, skills, grades, or leadership. Regular updates help them see you on an upward trend and potential for their particular program. It makes it easy for the assistant coach to promote you to the head coach. Now, a lot of times the head coach is not the one going to be recruiting you. It's one of their assistant coaches or someone that is a recruiter on their staff. Now, when a coach likes you, they may need to present your information to the head coach or admissions officer. The more detailed and recent your updates are, the easier it is for them to fight for you to come to their college or university. Now, Gary, Al, do you all have anything so far that going on that you want to input?
Well, on this, just clarifying that because you've made a good point here, but is this for any, like, is this just Division I or Division I, II, III, NAIC? Everybody, anybody, any coaching scenario for an athlete?
Anyone that is on your list that you are interested in potentially playing for. So it could be a Division I, II, III, an NIA school or a JUCO school. It's any college that you are interested in potentially playing for.
And secondly, and I know it's, my eyes were open many years ago when I went to a scholarship website, an athletic scholarship website, and I had no idea. I mean, there are scholarships for ping pong, for God's sakes. I had no idea. But you just think of the money sports because that's what you see on TV, and I realize that that's very one-sided. But is this true across the board on any of the coaches, on anything you want to do?
It's very important to keep them updated on your progress, especially when you start the recruiting process when you're supposed to do. And that is as early as your freshman year in high school and definitely by the sophomore year. So you've got to keep them up to date on how you're progressing through your high school's endeavors. I've even had individual students that are in the 8th grade that are actually approaching colleges that they may be interested in playing in. So that's not out of the ordinary as well.
And my final comment is that, and you've mentioned this on our previous segments, but I just think it's good to come in, remind it here, and that is some of these outside summer camps, basketball camps and things like that, that you can get into. Most of them, I think you have to pay to get in there. But are those helpful, or is that just pretty much a money-making scam on the
Well,
the people that are trying to get money? I don't hold it against them. I just think sometimes I wonder if it's really useful.
oh yeah, it's very useful. It gives a lot of these college coaches or the recruiters from these college teams an opportunity to actually see you play. The showcases are the ones that you have to be invited to. Now, the other type of college camp or whatever you want to call it is normally coached or utilized from past athletes. Like a lot of past athletes will come in and say, we're going to have a basketball clinic or a football clinic at these particular dates, and you can sign up, and the sign up fee is X dollars. So, but the ones that are really out there and normally for your Division I schools is what you call the showcase. And yeah, it can give the individual athlete exposure as well as it is a moneymaker, but more in the lines of the showcases, not necessarily the money aspect, but the exposure assets for the student athlete and giving the college coaches the opportunity to see an individual compete with high quality ball players. The other one, these college camps and such, the fee that you pay normally is going in to compensate the individual past athlete that has played for the college or the university. So, a team like Ohio State may put one on, or a University of North Carolina or Kentucky or Louisville, and they'll have their own college camp.
Sure,
Gary,
that's all I have right now.
you have anything, Gary?
Yes, I do. I can remember when my son was in high school, and this is like between his junior senior year. And he had played basketball in his junior year, also played soccer, but his interest is really to soccer. And so we come up to the summertime, and he's got some opportunities as far as playing sports during the summer, and it was local, okay? And it was, basketball or soccer. And thank God he was wise enough to pick the one he wanted to really play. And he went to a soccer camp for the summer, and it helped him out quite a bit. I guess what I'm getting back to is saying is, you need to determine what you're going to concentrate on, okay? And then follow that trail. Is that good advice, Chuck, or am I just.
Yeah, that going to these the college camps or and not necessarily the showcases or whatever. Showcases, they'll run you through different drills and things along those lines, but your camps are there to help the student athlete maybe uncover some of their weaknesses that they have, some of the techniques that they have playing their individual sport. But if you really want to play at the next level, I definitely say, to at least go to a camp of some type, not traveling a long distance or whatever, but some place to where it's local, to go in and have these either coaches or past players or whatever to give you some advice on what they feel like is your weaknesses and how you can improve, and give you a little bit of ideas of how to increase your skill levels within your particular sport.
Perfect. Thank you, Chuck.
All right. Another one here provides fresh content for the files the college coach is going to keep on you. Now, the college coach often keeps recruiting files or folders on each one of the athletes that they're interested in. If you have new stats, you've had new honors given to you, or you've improved on your GPA or your ACT SAT test score, those are the things that you want to go ahead and notify the college coach so they can put that into your files. Highlight your leadership and team role is another thing of keeping communicated with the college coach. It shows your academic progress. Once again, if you can't compete academically, you cannot compete athletically. You've got to
Wow.
maintain a certain GPA. If you have a low GPA and score well on the SAT or the ACT test score, the ACT or SAT test score can override your GPA. The higher your GPA, the lower you can score on the ACT or SAT. But academics comes first. If you can't compete, once again, academically, you cannot compete athletically of any of the colleges, regardless of whether Division One, Two, or Three. Now, keep your involvement in the recruiting conversation, the keeping the coaches up to date. The recruiting process moves very fast, but by staying in touch, you can stay part of the conversation instead of being left behind as new prospects may emerge that may be looking at your particular spot. It opens the door for campus visits. When a coach sees that you're actively improving and interested in their college, they may more than likely invite you to either an official or unofficial visit. Now, let me give you a little thing of what I mean by unofficial and official visits. An official visit is when the college coach requests you to come and visit them at their college or university. That's an official vote. They will pay for your transportation, and normally they'll pay for the expenses of someone coming with you, which normally is going to be a parent. Now, an unofficial visit, they may say, you know, we would like for you to come, but it's an unofficial visit, but we've got these dates open up here and such. The unofficial is a paid type visitation. In other words, you can do it on your own. You don't even have to be offered it by the college coach. So it's very similar to you going out and visiting colleges and universities when you're not dealing with athletics. You just go and see the campus, take a campus tour, and things along those lines. It prepares you for the signing day. Once again, if the college coach is interested in you, then you're going to what they call the signing day, and that is signing the national letter of intent. It gives you a confidence boost. Not only does it give you the boost to continue, especially if the college coach is sitting back and, you know, communicating back with you or asking for additional information and such. So that's going to boost your enthusiasm, and it's going to help you select the college or the university that is really showing interest in you. And the last one I'm going to cover, it creates a stronger recruiting portfolio. Every update, stat awards, test scores, highlight clips, adds another piece of your recruiting information that you're going to provide to the college coach. And over time, you'll build a complete picture of who you are as a student athlete in the eyes of the college coach. So those are the high points of keeping the college coach up to date.
Chuck, I got
Anything
a question
else?
for you. Yeah, I
Yes, sir.
got a question for you on you mentioned something there about the letter of intent. When does that normally Done. It's a two-part question. When is that? What's the date that that normally happens? Where
Okay, it
you.
varies from one sport to the next. Some of the colleges have certain signing dates. It's just like with this transfer port that they've got available now on these colleges and universities. There's a certain time limit that they would have that they could actually sign or have the individual student athletes sign the national letter of intent. So it will vary from one sport to the next. If you're playing soccer or volleyball or whatever, it may have a different signing dates than what it would be for football or basketball or baseball. So they will all vary, but this here can be that information can be given directly from the individual college itself, and they'll let you know of the dates that the signing period is up or coming due. So the student athlete really doesn't have to worry about, the dates and such. They'll be notified. If the college wants you to sign the national letter of intent, they're going to tell you. They're going to tell you the time frame.
Well, here's the question. In the admission cycle, not athletic, just a regular admissions, the national decision day is May 1. So that's set for in a in NECAC. That's a set date, May 1, national decision day. So there's nothing like that in the athletic world because it varies from sport to sport then is what I'm hearing.
No, they like I say, just because it's May 1 doesn't mean that you can ask for an extension like a normal student. The admission date's May 1. You can get back with the admissions officer and ask them, listen, can I go ahead and make the decision, a week from now? I've got so many things here that's being tied up, or I've got a sickness in the family. And I have problems of going ahead and making a decision until this particular problem solved. And they'll give you an extension. And then you can do basically the same thing with the making a decision on whether or not you want to play with XYZ basketball team or whatever. So there's nothing
Yeah, where
in
I'm coming from
concrete.
on that is that I've seen, particularly over the last couple of years, as the student population density of the students going to college is going down, it's just an issue of at the last minute the college will throw out a letter to somebody that was on the fence, but they haven't, they didn't come in yet. In other words, can I continue to search out a coach after May 1? Because things change. People change their minds and go somewhere else at the last minute, and you don't know that, so you keep soliciting and soliciting until they tell you to get the heck
Yeah,
out of Dodge.
it's over with. We've already filled it. Yes.
Okay.
Those are some of the guidelines through the NCAA that they allow. They're very flexible, and it's going to vary from a Division One, Two, Three, and NAIA schools. So, some of them are going to have different rules and regulations, and so they're pretty flexible on. When you sign, of course, they want you to sign the national letter of intent as soon as possible, at the earliest date that you can possibly sign it.
Yeah, the
So,
title for this one is to keep the coaches notified. I'm going to go, well, how late do I keep the colleges notified? It's July. Okay, give up. All right, they don't want you.
yeah. Well,
That
that's
was.
where you look at the communication you're having with the college coach. If they're not communicating back with you, if you send them a notification or ask them a question and they do not get back with you with the answer within a week or 2 weeks or whatever, and they're very slow in getting back with you, that's a good indication that they're not interested in you.
Yeah, okay, very good.
And I would just drop them off the list.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm kind of out of questions, Gary. Do you have anything that you'd ask
I've got
the
one,
chair?
it's a general one that I made observations with my son going through the school is you gotta stay online. And what I mean by that, you've got to pay attention to what you're going to do, follow it through, and realize in the end, you may not end up playing sports because it may, even if you get on the team, the amount of time it's going to take and still study, and let's face it, you're there for a degree. You won't have the time to dedicate to the sport you want, or if you do, it may impact your grades. So you really have to have a plan, you have to follow it, and you have to execute it. That's the only observation I have, Chuck. I'll leave it to you.
Yeah, Gary, I'm in total agreement with you. There's, less than 1% of all college athletes that go on to play a their sport on a professional standpoint, and that's a very low percentage. Now, so therefore, student athletes got to keep in mind that, you're going to college to get a degree, and if you're lucky enough to get an athletic scholarship, those are funds that can be used to help offset the cost. But academics comes first, period. I totally and completely agree with you.
Well, Chuck, thank you very much. To everyone out there, this ends our six-part series on athletics. Next week, we're going to be starting on a whole new different area, and that's going to be assets on the FAFSA form. And our lead speaker on that's going to be Al Hoffman. And Al has been, he's going to be speaking on this on a national convention here in May. And he's been generous enough to spend some time here on our podcast to go through assets on the FAFSA form. I, as an accountant, find this fascinating. I can't get about it. You out there who will listen to it, you would say, what the heck's going on? Okay. But please join us next week when we start our first section on assets on the FAFSA form. And now comes the advertising. So you can turn me off if you want to, but all of these are posted on our website, and that's prepareforcollege.com. And again, I'll repeat, prepare the number four college.com. And as I always say, don't keep this a secret. There, if you have friends or relatives that have students that are getting ready to go off to school or are getting ready to start the process, give them the podcast, give them the website. I think they'll learn a lot, and it'll give them some understanding of what's going on, and hopefully sort of settle the chaos that goes on while you're applying for college. That's all I have for today, everyone. Enjoy your week, and we'll talk next week. Goodbye.